following is a presentation of the Chicago Bears Network and ChicagoBears.com. Download the Chicago Bears official mobile app for up-to-the-minute Bears content every day. And now, welcome to Bears All Access, your all-access pass into Chicago Bears football. Bears All Access is brought to you by Uber and sponsored by CDW, Miller Lite, and PNC.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome into Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber. I'm Chris Bowden, filling in tonight for your normal host, Zach Zabin. But the good news is we have our regular partners in crime, or Zach's regular partners in crime, Super Bowl Bear Tom Thayer. Tom, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing good, Chris Bowden. How you doing?
I'm doing fine. And we're also joined, of course, by the quarterback. I work with him, too, over at CSN, Jim Miller. Jimmy, how are you?
I'm always doing well, and good to be with you, Chris.
Good to be with you. And Tommy and I were talking a little bit before the show, Jim, and word was Deshaun Watson went today to visit with the San Francisco 49ers to hold the second overall pick. And again, this is lying season. No one's ever going to reveal their cards as we head towards the draft 2 weeks from Thursday. But we want to start the conversation. We want listeners to call in as well here at 312-644-6767. Outside of what, Tom? The first three guys?
Well, they'll call them the big three.
The because, Watson, the Trubisky, yeah. The Kizer. I don't know if we want to throw Patrick Mahomes because there's a lot of talk that his stock is rising. But once we get that past that first four, we want to get fans to weigh in and get Tom's thoughts and Jim, your thoughts too. Once we get past those three or four, who's a good two? Day two, day three guy in the draft that is attractive to you and could potentially be a matchup with the Bears?
Well, I think a couple of guys that the Bears know well because they coach in the Reese's Senior Bowl would be Davis Webb out of Cal. They had the opportunity to watch him play down there in Mobile. And a guy they're going to know is as good about as anybody would be Nate Peterman, the quarterback out of Pitt, who I think has been pretty intriguing. He's a really quick study guy, actually a former Bear. Coach Mastroli is coaching him because Mastroli was with the Chicago Bears as a quarterback, and Kenny has been working with Peterman for a couple years, so he knows that player as well as anybody, and he's popped on, talked about his traits. He's a good decision maker. He's a timing and rhythm thrower is what he is. He has played well for the Pitt Panthers. They had one of the more powerful offenses, averaging about 43.5 points a game, and out of three times that Deshaun Watson has been beaten, one of them has been by Nate Peterman, the Pitt quarterback. That was an exciting game that went down to the wire, and the Pitt Panthers beat the Clemson Tigers.
Yeah, again, 312-644-6767. There's a ton of names out there, and they were out there at the combine. Everyone's pretty much had their pro day so far, and Peterman at least is a little bit different from the standpoint of he was behind center for his entire college career.
Right.
And I don't think Davis Webb took even a snap until the Senior Bowl behind center for his entire high school and college career. So how much, Tommy, in your opinion, does that affect the process and the growth factor once they're selected here by a team and the decision-making process and whether to go with a guy?
Oh, I think if a quarterback struggles with his footwork after he has more snaps behind center than he does out of the shotgun position, it would be a concern of mine because I don't want him thinking about his feet. I want him thinking about the decision-making process he has to go through from the huddle to the snap of the ball. And now I don't want a fundamental aspect of your game to be a bigger concern than the mental aspect of being a successful quarterback. So, those are one of the concerns for all these guys. Even you think about the quarterbacks that came out last year, and so many of them come out of that shotgun system. You know, how long does it take them to transition from the center quarterback exchange? And then how big is your center? Is this something where you're going to take an extremely tall guy and he's going to have to bend down to a short center or, you know, some of the different aspects? And then, you know, I think of a guy like Joshua Dobbs, Jim, at Tennessee. Mm-hmm. Here's a guy that had such a strenuous academic schedule throughout his college career.
Well, it's like he studied the same thing you did. It was the same major, right?
No, it wasn't, but I struggled academically too, and it was hard to go through academics and still have the mental part that the strain that football put on you. But when you think about the quarterback position and you think about a guy like Dobbs, you know, he's got the size, he's 6'3 plus and runs well and stuff. But now you take the struggle of academics off of his plate, and now you put him just in a football room. Is that going to expedite his ability to be a quarterback in the NFL? Or is Jim, is he a second or third day quarterback that you would even consider, you know, down the road?
Yeah, I think both he and Brad Kaya out of Miami, I think, are good developmental guys. And Joshua Dobbs, he was down at the Reese's Senior Bowl as well. I think he's got a really good arm whip. Like you said, you threw out his height and weight. That's not a problem. I think he's extremely smart. He picks up offenses very well. Was kind of all week, though, was kind of a check down Charlie. He didn't really push the ball down the field like what Davis Webb, you know, has the ability to do, because Webb comes with the bigger arm out of Cal, and he was coach. His father was a high school coach. So he's, you know, he's familiar with coming out underneath the center, even though most of his college career he never did that. But I think Kaya is another guy who's a developmental guy. These are guys you can get in the fourth and fifth round, would be my take on these guys. They may go higher because it is such a weak quarterback class, but these guys do have the ability to learn. One thing I like about Kaya, though, like when we watched him at the combine, it was no problem for him. You could tell he's been in three different offenses at Miami. Mark Richt, obviously, who moved on from Georgia to become the head coach of Miami. Certainly, he's very familiar in coaching kids up in that style of program or offense, I should say, of coming out underneath center. But he's been in spread sets as well. So I think he's a guy who's kind of a quick study. He's got good touch throws, but he's got good drops with timing and rhythm on his throws. So I would classify those two guys as good developmental guys later in the draft.
It'll be interesting to see. You talk about Webb being the son of a coach, and then you think about Mahomes being the son of an ex-professional athlete. You know, where do the influences come from? Do they come from being the son of a coach that you're always around different programs, different kids, mm-hmm. or does the influence come around being around some of the star athletes and being able to see their preparations throughout their career? And when you listen to Mahomes talk, he sure says the right things about his future, about his willingness to, you know, at one time his dad was trying to influence him to become a baseball player, not a football player, and he said he just enjoyed the game of football more than he does baseball. So, you know, that's kind of something that caught me off guard, because you think a lot of kids, if they had the ability to play both sports, some of them may steer towards baseball. But now you have a guy that clearly he likes the quarterback position, he likes the pressure of the position, and that's why he's still playing the game.
Yeah, because I think it's a challenge for him, and he hasn't reached his, you know, his heights. He's got all kinds of arm talent, but he's just raw in a lot of other areas. One, we talk about his footwork, what he can do underneath center, but because I watched his Baylor game that he played in, not that Baylor's got a great defense or anything, but he makes some throws that are just, it's really impressive. Whole shots down the sideline, good throws down the field that really, you know, really showcases his arm strength, but yet his footwork is not correct when he does it. So he comes with a lot of arm talent when you look at Patrick Mahomes from Texas Tech.
Time to take our first break here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber. Again, if any of you folks have questions about the quarterback, you want to ask Jim about any particular quarterbacks, or want to discuss other draft possibilities with the draft coming up 2 weeks from Thursday, at least round one is, give us a call, 312-644-6767. We are scheduled to be joined by new Bears cornerback Marcus Cooper. Have a lot of other discussion as well. You're listening to Bears All Access on 670 The Score. Don't miss any of the NFL draft excitement. The 2017 Miller Lite Chicago Bears Draft Party, brought to you by PNC, is Thursday, April 27th at Soldier Field. Tickets are on sale now at chicagobears.com. As we welcome you back into Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber on 670 The Score, I'm Chris Bowden, joined by former Bears Tom Thayer and Jim Miller, and we are pleased to be joined by a new current Bear who was signed in free agency, a former Arizona Cardinal, as well as Kansas City Chief and San Francisco 49er, Marcus Cooper. Marcus, good evening. Thanks for jumping on, and welcome to Chicago.
Hey, what's going on, man? Thanks for having me on. It's a pleasure.
You seem like a pretty happy man. Bear with me through this, because shortly after shortly after you signed with the Bears, you sent an open letter, and I'm going to try and read it off of your Twitter page here if my eyes can work fast enough. This is what you wrote. Chicago, I sit in my home in Houston today as a Chicago Bear, and I couldn't be happier. From the moment I stepped off the plane, the energy of Chicago Bears football hit me. Scrolling here. The iconic Bears C was everywhere. Those who recognized me did so with excitement
of a five-year-old on Christmas. Are you going to sign here? Come on, Coop. The social media world was on fire, and the possibility from the Chicago Bear faithful was overwhelming. As I walked through Hallis Hall, I couldn't help but feel like I was part of the tradition of the Chicago Bears. I saw pictures of the greats, Butkus, Ditkus, Sayers, Urlacher, and Sweetness. I was greeted by Coach Fox, Coach Fangio, Coach Donatel, some players, front office executives, and Ryan Pace. I immediately felt at home. I knew that I wanted to be a Bear. My personality in Chicago Bears language is more like Sayers than McMahon. I can get excitable on the field, but I am certainly not the guy for a wild soundbite. I focus on my job, work to perfect my craft, and try to be an example. It goes on a couple more paragraphs, but in the end, you wrote, "Thank you for supporting us. Now it's time to get to work." That's pretty strong stuff and a way to ingratiate yourself to Chicago Bears fans. And I think they love a player to express that excitement too. Do you still have that level of excitement?
Oh, absolutely. I can't wait to get there. You know, it's just kind of hard to speak about it, but you know, I'm just ready for this opportunity. I can't wait to be there with the guys and just chop at it and get to work. And hopefully we can do some great things on the field this year.
You know, Marcus, your career's had a unique path. You get drafted in the seventh round by San Francisco. You get released by San Francisco. Then you go to Kansas City. And then you get an award for being the most productive rookie on the Kansas City team that year. Was that as gratifying as a moment as you can possibly have at the early portions of your career, going from one team and then being so productive with the team that picked you up?
Oh, absolutely. You know, you always look for those things that, you know, gives you a sign, a seal of delivery, you know. And that was just one of those moments. But it's also a moment for me to, you know, take a deep breath and say that, okay, I've come to this opportunity and I want to continue to capitalize on it. I'm going to, you know, try to get better from this point forward.
Well, from your standpoint, Marcus, Jim Miller here, welcome to Chicago. And why do you feel Chicago such a great fit for you, both on and off the football field?
Oh, first off, I mean, the city is beautiful. And, you know, it's not even just the city is beautiful, but it's the fans. It's just a beautiful culture there. You know, these fans really support people. They really support our players. They really support what Chicago Bears are doing. And, you know, that's not just for us, but for also the other professional teams that are there. So it's just felt right and from that standpoint. And then, you know, I love what Pace has done for us. And the staff as a whole, you know, they come together, put some great pieces together, and, you know, we're going to continue to mend and gel together, and we're going to be something to watch out for sure.
A 2013 seventh-round draft pick of the San Francisco 49ers. You played in 54 games, 24 starts, but 13 of those came last year with Arizona. I know the injury bug hit the defensive backfield for the Cardinals a little bit there, but that was an opportunity, a door opened for you. And how much did last year in getting that regular playing time help in your development, you feel?
Oh, absolutely. Helped tremendously. You know, you can always look at actual reps on the field to your growth, you know, and Arizona gave me this opportunity. I'm thankful for that organization, because I wouldn't be here today without their help, you know. And you know, just some great people there, you know, Cameron Ross, who helped me out a lot, Nick Rapone, you know, these are my defensive back coaches who helped me out tremendously. And you know, you had some great guys there, Patrick Peterson. But you know, it's all about capitalizing on the opportunity that you get, and then coming here, and hopefully I can do the same here. I can help out some of the younger guys. I can get with Coach Donatel and, you know, Big Bangio, and work with these guys and just become a better player.
Marcus, when I was reading up, were you a wide receiver in high school?
Yes, wide receiver high school and all the way up to my junior year in college.
That's what I thought. And how did you know, when you talk about your size, it's pretty unique to be a cornerback as big as you are. You know, how did the skills as a wide receiver help you become a better cornerback? But how was the transition of kind of doing everything in reverse from the position of wide receiver to cornerback?
Right. Well, it was actually an interesting story. It's actually pretty seemed pretty easy for me at first, you know, because I knew what to expect as a receiver when the receiver started to make their breaks, or, you know, coming in and out of routes, and, you know, just looking at where they line up on the field and, you know, et cetera. But as I started to learn the cornerback position more, that's when things got tough for me, because I had to, you know, not only learn a new position, but, you know, forget about some of the things that I learned as a receiver, you know, and to help me be successful at just being the corner myself, you know. So it was an interesting role, but it was a challenge, and I love the challenge, and I continue every day to strive to get better as a corner.
Well, you've been on some teams with some good defenses. We look what Coach Sutton does for Kansas City. Certainly Bruce Arians is a no-nonsense guy in the aggressive defense the Arizona Cardinals would run.
Absolutely.
And, you know, this is the Monsters of the Midway, bro. I mean, how do you bring that attitude? Right. What's the attitude you are going to bring in that Chicago Bear backfield?
Oh, I mean, you can look at the 85 Bears. I mean, Tom, you know, I'm sure you're pretty familiar with that being a Super Bowl member, you know. But, you know, this is attitude, like you said. It's something that we're going to have to pride ourselves on, and something that we have the players in the group, in the locker room, to pride ourselves on. You know, we want to bring the Monster of the Midwest. We want to be that group that's fair. And we want to just come out there with a great attitude, but most importantly, with pride, and get the job done.
As we let you go with another final word here or two, so you were working with Ed Donatell when San Francisco first drafted you, correct? We wanted to get you a little background on that and the coaching staff, your familiarity with Vic Fangio and everyone. Right. Do you know any of your new teammates well? Do you have a history with any of them?
Well, I played with Demps in Kansas City my rookie year. So I'm happy to see that, you know, I'm going to have another opportunity to play with him. Bugsby, you know, a corner with you guys, he actually came to Kansas City as well. And I got the opportunity to play with him. And, you know, to see a great young player, you know, a great talent, you know, start to develop and start to grow and, you know, try to come into his own. So, you know, there's a few guys, you know, just to name those two for quick reference to who I've been playing with, and I'm looking forward to playing with them again. But it's just the opportunity to play with these new guys, you know. Plenty of guys has reached out to me, and I'm excited to get in the locker room with these guys and just build something special.
You know, a lot of professional athletes are football junkies. I'm not so sure you are, but do you pay attention to the other quarterbacks in the division that you're going to be seeing now a couple times a season? And,
right,
you know,
yeah.
what type of influence is that on a cornerback? Because, again, you talk about some really talented guys on the other side of the ball.
Right. Absolutely. I mean, that's one of the reasons I signed here as well. You know, this is definitely a talented division. And, you know, I'm going to have the opportunity to go against, you know, what we call in today's game, the best quarterbacks, you know. So if I want to be the best, I have to go against the best. And that's my motto. So, you know, just to be able to go against these guys, it's just an opportunity. It's an honor. And, you know, it starts now. I have to prepare for these guys now because they're going to come regardless if we're ready or not.
Well, you sound like a pretty good soundbite to me, despite what you said in your opening letter right there. And if any Bears fans aren't following you, it's at Mr. MR _ Cooper 860 on Twitter. And you can get all of his other social media information there as well. But it was great talking to you. Again, welcome to town. And I'm sure Bears fans are welcoming you after the way you felt welcome when you first signed here. Thanks, Marcus.
Oh, thank you, Marcus.
Thanks for having me on, man. Thanks, Gus.
Marcus Cooper, the new Bears cornerback, signed in free agency a couple days in. And we're anxious to see him, especially now. Prince Amukamara, a couple of other defensive backs the Bears have signed. We'll get to another roster decision that they made just yesterday, too. At that same position, when Jim Miller, Tom Thayer, and I return, along with you, we'll get your phone calls as well. 312-644-6767. Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber, continues. Go off the field with Inside the Bears. Tune in weekly, Saturday at 6 p.m. on CW50, and Sunday on Fox 32 Chicago at 10:35 p.m. for unique stories and interviews exclusively for Bears fans. Welcome back to Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber on 670 The Score. Chris Bowden filling in for Zach Zabin, Tom Thayer, and Jim Miller with us as well. Let's say we hit the phone lines, because a couple of people have been waiting for a while. Eric from Peoria wants to talk a little bit of quarterback. Eric, good evening. Thanks for jumping on with us. Appreciate your call. Are you there, Eric?
Yeah.
Hey. Sounds like some hammering going on in the background.
Yeah, I'm traveling.
Okay. Gotcha.
I was wondering what it would take to get Deshaun Watson, like, to trade down to get him. Because I really like the kid. I have Jamal Adams at three, but we need a quarterback.
Yeah, and I know Jim, Eric, thanks for your call. Jim, he's probably the quarterback you like the most, I heard you say last week on the show.
Yeah, well, you look, you know, to me, the Bills just worked out Watson. I don't think the Bills have the ammo to work out. They're a couple of teams only have six picks, and the Bills are one of them. So I don't think they'll really, you know, get aggressive to try to trade up in that scenario. The Browns certainly have the ammo at 12. If they don't select Watson at 1, You know, obviously everybody assumes Myles Garrett's going to go at that point. Browns do have the ammo to trade up, and I think the Jets should be interested in Watson or Trubisky, whichever one is the apple of their eye. But I personally would think Watson makes a lot of sense for the Jets. Why? Because it's a big stage in New York City. They've been wanting to answer that question of quarterback forever, even though they've drafted quarterbacks the past couple years in Bryce Petty and Christian Hackenberg. But, you know, the kid's 32-3. As a starter, his biggest performances are on a big stage against Alabama. You know, one he lost and one he won. I do get concerned about the interceptions that we've talked about. What, he's got 32 over the past couple of years, but I do think he's just got a way about him, an air where he just goes about his business and works. He did correct, you know, a lot of people have question marks about him. Will he drive the football in Watson? I think he did better on his pro day, and when I talked to him, he knows his mechanics. He's got to get better at it, at his mechanics, but he has shown the ability that he can drive the football, more of a touch thrower. But let's face it, that kid has been passing all or checking all the boxes. I think he's cool, calm, and collected. Maybe that's exactly what the New York Jets need. So those two teams could be interested in trading up if that is their apple of their eye in Deshaun Watson.
Hey, Jim, now San Francisco, they bring him in for a day-to-day. Is that smokescreen? Because there is no commonality between Brian Hoyer and Deshaun Watson in terms of their game, their athleticism. And is that the type of mentor that you want to bring in for what his future is going to be in the NFL, or are they looking at him for a pick down the road if they'd be willing to make a trade? So where do you kind of try to filter through everything, and what was that all about?
I personally think Trubisky is a better fit for the 49ers because I think he throws better on the run than what Watson does. Not that Watson can't do it, but they're both, like you said, at the combine they were pretty much similar in their numbers. It was funny, I was just texting a scout right now who believes that about, you know, four quarterbacks that have the physical traits that teams look for. And all four of these guys do when you look at Mahomes, Kaiser, Trubisky, and Watson. But I do think Trubisky would be a better fit with the 49ers just because I think he throws really well on the run. He is very raw, though. He is very green. You know, it's funny, I was watching him on that John Gruden quarterback camp. He didn't even know what a hard count was,
right?
For the listeners that are out there. That's just going on. You know, you're trying to draw the defense offside. So he is just a very green player. We've talked about him, but he is athletic, Mr. Ohio, all those type of things. I just think in that bootleg-style offense that Kyle Shanahan likes to run, I think Trubisky would be a better fit with the 49ers.
And when we talk about trading down, it's a little tricky at number three because you have to develop a certain market has to develop for someone to really fall in love with a guy that they think isn't going to last beyond that, or maybe a pick or two beyond that. And, you know, I'm sure part of this interview process is all these teams are kind of creating markets too. And Tom used the word smoke screens in terms of if you're going to be able to trade down, there has to be a player up there that another team really falls in love with.
Well, you would think like the teams that I just mentioned, the Jets should be interested, the Browns should be interested. And don't forget the Jaguars, who are picked behind the Bears. This may seem crazy. I don't think it is. They have not placed the fifth-year option on Blake Bortles.
We know you're such a big Bortles fan, Jim.
Well, you know, I just, you got to bring it up. You can't ignore it. I mean,
doesn't sound like Tom Coughlin's a big fan either.
He hasn't had glowing remarks about their quarterback. So, you know, and again, you look at when David Caldwell, the general manager down there, selected Blake Bortles, that came out of nowhere. You know, nobody thought he was going to go to Jacksonville at that spot when he did in the first round. I think he's a good work hard guy, and I'm not here to bash him or like anything like that, but I think he's got a lot of work to do. And I think by them alone not placing the fifth-year option on Bortles, I think it speaks volumes, really.
Back to the phone lines again, 312-644-6767. Tom in Schaumburg, you know, there's a wide receiver market that the – you know, some roles that the Bears may still have to fill when it comes to the draft. And Tom wants to talk about one particular that should get drafted. Hi, Tom. How you doing?
Hey, good, good. Hey, there's kind of a local kid. Well, not kind of. There's a local kid that's from Nebraska, from Lombard, Jordan Westenkamp. You guys know this guy?
Yeah, very familiar with him.
6-foot wide receiver.
Followed his entire high school career here. And, Jimmy, you've seen a lot of him with the close eye you keep on the Big Ten, too.
I believe he was catching game winners against Michigan State. Wouldn't he get pushed out of bounds and then came back in? But, yeah, he's good receiver. Certainly, you know, they've – You know, I think with their quarterback out there, they've been better, and they've been better at throwing the football since Riley has shown up. They're kind of, they've changed their offense a little bit, you know, because previously it was kind of a pound it, you know, typical Nebraska football. And now with Coach Riley, they certainly throw it quite a bit. But Westerkamp's a good player. Think he'll, you know, don't know exactly where he'll go in the draft. I don't think he's going in the first three rounds, is what I'd say about Westerkamp. But he'll find his way into a camp and have a shot. Better be a special teamer, better do it all, I think, for him. And I think he'd be up for that type of challenge.
You know, one thing about Bears specifically and wide receivers, when you think about Westerkamp, you're looking at a guy that's 6 foot, 195 pounds.
Is that a Braverman comp?
Well, yeah. He's probably, you know, he probably played against better competition for the period of time he has in Nebraska than Braverman has. But, you know, they went and drafted Braverman because of, you know, he has such good hands. But when you look at the wide receiver draft class, and you know, I think the Bears need to go after some guys that have significant size, because there's a lot of wide receivers out there that have ability that are in the 6'3 plus range. Because right now you have Cameron Meredith and you have Kevin White that are both considered 6'3, and the rest of the receivers are shorter than that. So if you want to come out there and you want to give, whether it's going to be the experience of Mike Glennon or a quarterback to draft for down the road, I think it's a position that you may be able to pick a couple guys out of this draft that are in that 6'4 range, that are, you know, giving the Bears some size on the edge in different spots so that they can line up with, whether they're going to three, four, five receiver sets.
Agree with that. I mean, it's changed so much on the National Football League. It was funny because we were talking earlier today, we were just talking about how it's changed from the linebacker standpoint to, you know, how running backs are used now. And just, you know, they got to be guys that are able to play in space. You know, field's 53 and a half yards wide, and you got to be able to cover every blade of grass with what these defensive guys are asked to do and how offensive play has changed.
Again, if any of you want to talk day two, day three quarterbacks or anything concerning the draft, again, it's just around the corner. Round one coming up 2 weeks from Thursday. Give us a call, 312-644-6767, or anything else Bears for that matter. Jim Miller, Tom Thayer, Chris Bowden will be back with more Bears All Access brought to you by Uber after this timeout. Get round-the-clock news, video, and updates straight from your favorite team. Download the Chicago Bears official app and follow the Bears on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat for the latest content direct to your device. You're listening to Bears All Access brought to you by Uber. On 670 The Score, Chris Bowden pinch hitting for Zach Zabin tonight, joined as always by Tom Thayer and Jim Miller. We heard from Marcus Cooper a couple of segments ago, but one of the domino effects of signing Marcus Cooper, Prince Amukamara, also some other guys in the defensive backfield is the Bears and Ryan Pace made a call, and we kind of saw the handwriting on the wall of this potentially happening. But probably their best cornerback over the last 2 years, Tracy Porter, was let go. For some Bears fans who may have some difficulty understanding that and processing that, Tom, Jim, how do you think Ryan Pace went about that, and what was all made into that decision? Because he was a guy who worked through some things last year, answered the bell, and was their number one cornerback, or their cornerback that they would put on the opposition's number one receiver.
Yeah, but when you look at ultimately the lack of production out of the defensive backfield, the lack of turnovers, the ability, the need for these guys to stay on the field, for the division they play in against the quarterbacks they see on a regular basis, like we did talk about Marcus Cooper, it's just an area of the field that you have to upgrade it significantly. And Dick Stanfeld, our offensive line coach, always used to say, if your arrow's pointing up, you're always going to get coached. But as soon as it starts pointing down, then we have to look to make a change. And that's just the reality of the sport for every position. And so I do think it's just an area of that they need to improve it significantly. And it all comes about, they need a better pass rush that helps the cornerbacks, that all these guys communicate together. And then you think about the size of some of the guys that they've brought into the lineup this year. Tracy Porter was not the biggest guy on the field, was not the biggest cornerback. But if he's your best cornerback and he has to go against your opponent's number one receiver, he's never going to be equal in size against that guy, whether it's in the division or any other team in the league.
He did a decent enough job, though, while he was here, Jim, didn't he?
I think he would go out there and compete. I know he was fighting through the stuff with the knee and draining the knee and all those type of things. But, you know, much like Tom said, they won three games. They're 3-13. They've won 9 games in 2 years. It's not good enough. So you've got to upgrade. You've got to go in another direction. The turnovers haven't been there. I know he had 2 last year, 2 interceptions, but
and he led the team.
Yeah, it was even worse last year than what it was the year prior, with 17 turnovers 2 years ago, and then only 10 turnovers in 2016. I think it was a glaring need. They've tried to upgrade that position. Certainly, they've been very active in free agency, but I don't think, much like quarterback, even with the guys they've added to the roster, I don't think that precludes the Bears from ignoring those two positions in the draft. I think we all assume they're going to address both of those positions at some point in the draft.
And there's still 13 cornerbacks on this roster right now. I know there's some discussion of perhaps moving D'Angelo Hall to
safety.
DeAndre Hall, to safety, and trying him out there. And nevertheless, age is also a factor in this. Tracy turns 31. And for a guy who had to battle through knee injuries this past season, you're hoping for the best for him. But again, you mentioned the arrow not necessarily pointing up.
Even though you have 13 cornerbacks out there, you have a couple of guys you hope that answer the question you're bringing in here at free agency. You have a couple question marks out there in terms of where is Kyle Fuller's value going to be? Is he going to turn into the first round draft choice that they picked him a few years ago? Or is he going to have a season like he did last year where he didn't see the field and he had the injury issues? So again, 13 guys is, just a number on the roster. Mm-hmm. But again, do you have a guy that you're going to say, okay, when they line up against the Detroit Lions or Green Bay Packers as a threat, or Minnesota Vikings, is he a threat against their number one receivers or their quarterbacks? I think that guy is yet to be found. And hopefully, when you think about a guy like Marcus Cooper, 27 years old, 6'2", that, hopefully that he can morph into that guy that can at least make the position competitive enough where you have a starting point.
If you had to pick Jim for a number one, or a guy to put up against another team's number one receiver, who do you think that guy is right now on this roster who's going to line up against Jordy Nelson and others?
I'd probably say Prince. Prince, I know, has had the injury history, but when he's healthy, I think he plays pretty good. And like Tom said, I think it has yet to decide itself. It could be somebody out there in the second round. I mean, you want straight man corners? Go look at those two dudes out at Colorado. Both Witherspoon and that Awuzie can absolutely play man coverage, and they're both over 6 feet, both of them. Kevin King out at Washington's the same way. That guy's rising up everybody's draft board. This is a deep draft in secondary players, and there's some good ones out there. And then, and not to mention the guys who are falling, Sidney Jones, because he had the Achilles injury, or Fabian Moreau out of UCLA. But man, there's a lot of good corners and hybrid players in this draft in the secondary, and I don't think the Bears are going to ignore it if they've got the opportunity to pick one up.
Back to the phone lines at 312-644-6767. John from Manuka is wants to weigh in on the quarterback situation. Good evening, John. How you doing? Thanks for calling in.
Hey, good evening, gentlemen. I have a couple questions for you, if it's okay. First one, as far as all the reports that we hear with, say, for example, all the guys that went to Watson's pro day, and then not that many guys going to Trubisky's, but then they have a private workout with them, can we believe any of this, or do you think this is all just smokescreen? And the reason I ask is just because of everything Pace has said in the past, what he looks for in a quarterback, with leadership, elevating the program, intelligence, et cetera. And obviously that points to Watson. And then the second part to that question, also related, is why is there such a question mark on him when it seems as though the player that he would comp to would be Marcus Mariota? And when he came out, everybody, including Ryan Pace, seemed very excited to go nab him at number 2. So why is it such a stretch, aside from the fact that we just signed Mike Glennon, that the Bears would go for him at 3?
John, thanks a lot. Jimmy?
Yeah, I don't think that is a stretch. I like the way you're thinking. But I'm not going to compare Marcus Mariota and Deshaun Watson, because that dude that was drafted by Tennessee last year is the real deal. He led the NFL in terms of his red zone touchdowns in his scoring percentage. And he would blow past him in terms of his athleticism. Okay, that's a legit quarterback, well over your 6'4", who can absolutely run and is a threat. And you know, with the ability to run. Not that Watson's not, because he's a fluid athlete. He's just not as physically as gifted as Marcus Mariota is. But I don't disagree what you're saying. Again, for all the reasons, you've got to have a certain demeanor. I do believe this, to play in Chicago, dealing with the media. It certainly is a big stage. It's got a lot of rich tradition and a lot of proud Bears fans. And I remember asking Jay Cutler that question when he arrived there, you know, because there are other quarterbacks that have gone through Chicago and have felt vilified. You know, Rex Grossman would be one of them, but I don't think that's out of the realm. Essentially, Mike Glennon's deal, it comes out as a 3-year, $45 million, but essentially it's a 1-year, I believe, $14.5 million. So Watson, I would think, would be potentially, if they love him, they would take him at 3.
All right, Tom's dance music is on. That means we have to take our final break here on Bears All Access. I think Miller's dancing at his place, too. Miller, Thayer, Bowden, coming right back after this final timeout on Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber. Yeah, this is more Thayer and Miller right there. Some headbanging,
that's right.
Headbanging on Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber, Chris Bowden, Jim Miller, and Tom Thayer. Hey, we told you about Inside the Bears earlier in the show. Again, Saturday at 6 on CW50, Sunday on Fox 32 Chicago at 10:35. This week, an encore presentation as you relive their trip, the Bears Caribbean Adventure, with Jordan Howard, with Cameron Meredith, Eric Kush, Patrick Scales. Beach games and swimming with sharks are just part of the special edition of Bears All Access. I think we had a little bit of Joniak was probably showing off his body on the beach, too, in that edition.
I saw a highlight of him getting in a stance against Anthony Adams, and I've never seen a worse stance demonstrated by Joniak ever.
Again, Bears All Access brought to you by Uber. We're heading down the home stretch here as we continue this draft conversation. By the way, the preseason schedule was released yesterday. In case you didn't hear about it or see it, this is the way it's going to go. The weekend of August 10th through 14th, one of those dates, it'll be Denver at Soldier Field. The Broncos were here, I believe, in the opener last year, too. Second preseason game between August 17th and 21st. Again, exact dates to be determined coming up. But Marcus Cooper gets to go back to Arizona for week number 2 of the preseason. Week 3, the most important one, is already locked in. It's nationally televised on Fox, August 27th. Speaking of Marcus Mariota, at Tennessee, so that'll be a nice test. And the usual closer against the Cleveland Browns at Soldier Field, either August 31st or September 1st.
You know, when you think about next year, this preseason coming up, you know, I think every snap that every one of these guys gets is important. I hate for them to just say, okay, the third one is the most important, because if you look like crap in game one, you can lose your position easily. So if you go out there and you think that, hey, I'm a veteran, or I this rep is not meaningful for me because I'm a first-year rookie, listen, you guys, every single rep this year is going to be important from game one to game four. And we saw guys last year being able to make this team. Jordan Howard, you think about him in the Cleveland game last year, game four, and then you think what that led to going into the regular season, and then you think about guys in the preseason that just in the past couple of years that have played bad in the first preseason game and lost their position. I just think there should be a little bit more importance in the performance in the preseason this year than maybe some teams that have the luxury of having it that way because they've been successful.
Yeah. As we talk a little bit more about the draft here as we close things out here, you know, fair or unfair, or I'm not sure how accurate necessarily is, but when you look at Ryan Pace's first two first-round draft picks so far, Kevin White and Leonard Floyd, these have been a couple of guys where the tape is good. It's been 1 year tape, and you could see him. There's an upside to these guys. They may not necessarily have put everything on tape that some others may have necessarily have. Jim, sitting here at number 3, if that is a philosophy of Ryan Pace, where you get guys with greater ceilings than you've seen on the tape in college, do you think Ryan Pace is inclined to do that if, in fact, he has the first 2 years, or how important is it at number 3 to get a guy who you've seen perform consistently for at least 1 year, if not a couple years, under his belt.
Yeah, because, well, when you look at White, obviously he was a JUCO transfer. There was a lot of questions about him, but the athleticism is off the charts. And I think we would say that about Leonard Floyd, too. I think there's flashes of it, but it's just it's incomplete and it's not fulfilled because both of those guys have been injured at times. You know, for Leonard, you know, as soon as he came to the Bears, what I believe was a concussion or a sickness he was dealing with that kept him out of some practices. Then as the season went on, again, I think there were flashes from him, and then he'd have setbacks in terms of his ability to stay on the field. So I think that's going to be a big part of it. They want to draft a guy who I think is as solid as you can be so that they're out on the field every single week, all 16 games, to really display their productivity and to get better consistently. Even if they, you know, if they have a high ceiling like those two players that they draft.
Because that kind of comes into the conversation, Tom, especially when we're talking about defensive backs. You see what Jamal Adams has put on tape for a couple years at LSU. Now, his ceiling might not be as high as a Hooker or a Lattimore or Ohio State. These are a couple of kids who came in and played 1 year, but have also had injury issues, but their ceiling might be a little higher.
Right. You know, you have to take a lot of things into consideration. It's easy to be good on a good team. So their supporting cast from the college programs they came from, when they have so much talent around them, it doesn't put the stress and the strain on them that they're going to have when they get it to the in the NFL, whether they're on a good team or a bad team. So I do think that's one of the questions that always have to be answered. Are they good because they're on a good team, or are they good because they're a good football player? And so when you look at the upside of Kevin White and Leonard Floyd, yeah, they have upside. They have significant improvement that they have the ability to make. But like Jim said, the injuries, they always throw a concern in the back of your mind, especially these days with the sensitivity of the concussion issue and Leonard Floyd, and then the re-injury of Kevin White. If these guys do live up to their expectations, you're talking about two guys that can come in and help the Bears significantly this season, and that's what your hopes are. But then if you think about a position that you think about the future and their upside, is that where the quarterback position is going to filter into the Bears draft this year? Is it going to be that second rounder that has a significant upside? And because you brought in Mike Glennon, you have that opportunity to grow and develop and cultivate this guy for the future. So, you know, there's a lot of question marks that need to be answered, because if you bring in a first rounder here, the third pick of the draft, and you have your sights set on a guy, he's got to come in here. And the first day that you go down to Bourbon A in full pads or OTAs, whatever, he's got to be with the first unit.
Yep, start right away. All grades being equal on these guys, just for argument's sake, all grades being equal, what is the positional priority, do you think, for the Bears right now, looking at this entire roster right now? If you had to pick a position, if all grades were equal, what position would you address?
Yeah, I think three positions. I think we've identified it as quarterback. I think receiver needs to be addressed. This is a deep receiver draft, and I think secondary, whether it's corner or safety. I don't think even with the guys that they've signed, it preclude the Bears. Or last but not least, because it has released Ego Ferguson, I would think defensive line has got to be in the mix. And then finally, I'd say linebacker. So I've thrown out a lot, because why? The Bears need a lot. They need a lot. They were 3-13 a year ago. They've addressed some areas in free agency, and now we'll see what they elect to choose come draft time.
You know, for me, I've always liked Deshaun Watson, and I know everybody could say, man, you're overdrafting this guy to the extreme, but hey, it's just the future of that position is so important to the success of the team. And then I think of the late season injury to Danny Trevathan, and you got to have some interior inside linebacker help, even though you did draft that last year. And then defensive back has been such the safety has been such a concern for this football team that they haven't had one, you know, since Mike Brown and Gary Fensick.
So we got about a minute or so left. If you're sitting there at number three and Deshaun Watson's there, Tom Pace,
would I take
him? Are you pulling the trigger?
Tom would think about it. Absolutely.
I'm definitely going to think about it. You know, Mike Glennon has made me have a different way of thinking, but I really like the championship pedigree that Deshaun Watson has demonstrated since throughout his process in college.
A worthy investment, Jim? You're a quarterback. You're probably saying.
I think it's definitely a discussion that they're having in that building right now. They have to. They know that's a position they need to correct. I mean, Mike Glennon, we can say and we can think he's ready, but at the end of the day, like I said, it essentially is a one-year, $14.5 million deal. So I do think those discussions are ongoing. And is that probably too high for Watson? If you believe he's your guy, it's not too high. It's not too high.
Yeah, because that's all part of it too. If you're definitely in love with somebody, and he's sitting there, no matter what position that he is, you're going to roll the dice on him, right?
Well, think about Cleveland. They didn't even rate Carson Wentz in their top 20, and that guy goes second overall to the Philadelphia Eagles, and they had already acquired Sam Bradford, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then they traded him away. Yeah. Wentz was ready, and he was the starter for the Philadelphia Eagles.
All right,
think that can't happen for the Bears?
You know what's crazy about that is I don't think the Philadelphia Eagles would have taken Jared Goff if the Los Angeles Rams would have taken Carson Wentz number one.
Yeah, it's probably true. And who knows where the Rams would be right now if it was Wentz sitting there. All right, Tommy, Jim, always fun. It's always a pleasure filling in here for Zach Zabin on Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber. We also want to thank Marcus Cooper, the new cornerback, joining us over the phone as he's pumped up to become a Chicago Bear. We also want to thank everyone who called in here on 670 The Score. For Zach Zabin, I'm Chris Bowden, Tom Thayer, Jim Miller, wishing you good night. Stick around. We want to thank, first of all, Eli Hershkovitz and Sean Friedberg for producing, but Barry Rosner, Nick Shepkowski coming your way next on The Score. Again, thanks for listening to Bears All Access.
Thanks for listening to the Chicago Bears Network presentation of Bears All Access. Podcasts are available on ChicagoBears.com and on iTunes, or download the official Bears mobile app. Bears All Access has been brought to you by Uber and sponsored by CDW, FanDuel, and Verizon.